We specialize in music most people hate. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure you check out our Facebook page, Instagram, and our website. Let us show you what is with you.
Yo, this is John from Noise Dosage Media, and this episode is brought to you by Begrudgingly Benny. Interested in putting something horrific and grotesque on your next piece of merch? Benny is tucked away in the fiery depths of COVID quarantine, blasting the filthiest of old school death metal and drawing hideous creatures that he is waiting for you to adopt. Go over to Instagram and follow at Begrudgingly Benny and contact him if you would like some really weird original art for your band or label. Super professional, highly recommended.
So I want to first shoot off the introduction to you guys from me, the Ghost Tour in Buffalo. You killed it, man. I bought merch right after you said. I didn't know anything about you guys, and I was like, this band is something else, man.
Yeah, that was an interesting 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, we've played the U.S. and North America in general before. But after those 2 weeks, you could really notice a change. I think a lot of people who wouldn't have heard of us if it wasn't for that tour saw us there and apparently liked it. So that was good.
There you go. All right. So, you know, I didn't want to repeat other questions you've had in interviews because I was watching a lot and I saw a lot of the same questions like influences and blah, blah, blah. So I'm kind of adding off of old interviews. So yeah. You stated that you always bring a bunch of books on tour. So what are you currently reading and what is like the most impactful read you've ever experienced?
Well, I'm reading a lot at the moment. I'm reading Baudolino by Umberto Eco, and I'm reading this, I think it was a really big when it came out, a book called Shantaram by, what's his name, Gregory something, Roberts. He was on Oprah and all of the big media when that book came out. So I'm reading that at the moment as well. Really good one. And I just got his second book, so I'm going to start that soon.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. This quarantine has made me find new hobbies and stuff, so reading is one of them. So I found it kind of cool.
Yeah, awesome. And apart from that, I've been reading just a lot of schoolwork. I've been reading, and I'm still reading a couple of books from this professor called what's his name, Mark Singleton. Roots of Yoga and what else? Yoga Body, I think, and a bunch of other similar. It's a lot on my plate at the moment, actually.
That actually goes right into my next question of, you know, we're talking about yoga and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned like a lot of meditation and, you know, it puts you in like a creative mindset, mainly because it like makes you calm and balanced. So yeah, is that true? That section there?
It might have been true. I wouldn't say I would do that to put me in a creative mindset nowadays.
Yeah, I always like to check because, you know, these articles, sometimes the editors add stuff.
Yeah, they do, right? I've read interviews where I didn't actually recognize anything that I said.
Yeah. So, you know, what do you feel is the biggest struggle as being an artist right now?
Well, it depends. I mean, being an artist that, you know, performing live, that's obviously more or less impossible at the moment. But mm-hmm. I mean, as an artist, you, in my opinion, I I think you shouldn't be moaning, and you know, do something else then.
Right.
And I guess we were pretty lucky as well, because we timed the recording of the album quite well, and it's now in January we're first affected by the, well, apart from the summer festivals, I guess, but right. Really now that the you know, the touring cycle would have begun, and yeah, that obviously doesn't happen at the moment, but you know, we can do something else.
Yeah, I found that you guys putting this album out like around the quarantine times, it's very, you know, it's risk worthy, but at the same time, I've seen so many albums come out and they've done actually better.
Yeah, I mean, people might have even more time to listen to music, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not ideal, I get that, but it in that respect, it kind of feels like a good thing to be releasing it now, because I think people need, that's what I hear and that's what I read, at least, you know, people, they're watching movies, they're reading books, they're listening to podcasts like never right. before.
Yeah, so, it's like, it's contribute. Like evolution of content. It's just, you got to have it right now.
Yeah. And you know, it, and it's all online, I guess, nowadays, which is, a blessing to some extent, but it's also, I'm kind of hoping, you know, not a curse, but I hope people won't be relying and getting, you know, too comfortable in always being able to get everything at home.
For free and freaking, you know, everything at you at once. For how much is it? Well, Spotify, here's a question off of that. What's your opinions on Spotify?
It's twofolded, I guess. The first being, you know, things change, the times they are changing, and so on. And I don't have anything against that, because that is the way things go. And I guess we all have to, you know, adapt constantly. And it's also, I use Spotify and Apple Music and things like that as well. I don't only listen to my records at home. So in that respect, it's good. People can listen to whatever kind of music they want, more or less. But of course, they should probably find a better way of paying artists, actually. Mm. Make up all of their content.
Right, exactly. I just, but, you don't know, understand. That's kinda, I don't understand, that's the financial. Like, it costs almost like, I think it's like $14, $15 to have a monthly thing, and the artist only gets like 0.0006 or something like that.
Yeah, and I don't know the details, but I've heard different, suggestions that people have, and that I think they've been talking about as well, that would make that easier. And I don't recall exactly how that would work, but you know, things might get better, and let's just hope it does, I guess.
Hopefully the artists take control pretty soon. So so you talked about other bands and stuff, and I noticed that you are a huge Iron Maiden fan.
Yeah, I am.
All right, so that was one of the bands that got me into guitar. Well, it introduced me to the more technical aspect of guitar. And, you know, my question to you is, what was like your initial reaction when first hearing them?
I don't actually remember my first time. I do remember, because I was a big fan of Kiss before that. Yeah. I got obsessed with Kiss when I was about 6 years old or something. At first, because they looked so cool.
Exactly.
Only.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I liked the music as well. And then I think I was around 10 when I started listening to Iron Maiden. And I remember checking the booklet to Best of the Beast and thinking they looked kind of funny in their 80s clothes. And, you know, that was the way I looked a few years later, though. But that was probably my first reaction. And I also remember seeing some kind of a carnival. What do you call it? The things you have on, or like a parade? Where either they were in the parade or someone had made like an Eddie Iron Maiden kind of something.
Yeah, I've seen Kiss before. I saw them on their final tour, but I have not seen Iron Maiden.
Oh, then you should.
Have you seen either of them?
Yeah, both.
Both?
Yeah, I've seen Iron Maiden many, many times. I've only seen Kiss once, I think.
Yeah. I saw him on the worst tour to go see him.
They had Which one was it?
It was the final tour that was like freaking 2.5 years long. Mm. It never ended. It was terrible.
I mean, it wasn't the best show I've seen when I saw them either. I think it was in 2008 or something.
Yeah.
I wish I would have seen them on the reunion tour or on the Psycho Circus tour. And I remember watching the news and crying as a kid.
Psycho Circus was a very underrated album.
Yeah.
Do you agree with me on that? That was one of my favorites.
It's great. And the song in particular is fantastic, I think.
Yeah. All right. So here's another thing I had to dig deep for. So growing up in Arvika meant you were exposed to a goth festival. And my question off of that is like, do you feel if you didn't have this interaction growing up, the band wouldn't have the visual image that it would have today?
I'm not sure, but I am sure that it had a big impact on me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, it was a big thing as well. It was a big festival, and at first it was, you know, kind of goth and industrial based, and then in the end it kind of evolved into something more mainstream, trying to compete with the other big Swedish festivals.
Yeah,
but so they always had different kinds of bands. So, you know, I saw Slayer there as well.
Nice.
Yeah, very cool. On like a truck parking in our small hometown.
That's crazy.
But you know, every year for a week, the whole city got flooded with, you know, alternative people, and I'm sure it had a really big impact to see that, you know, people are strange, and sometimes that's a good thing.
Right. Right. You got to be in this music industry. Like, you have to stand out somewhere or another. Like, for sure. So what else about that festival, you know, really like opened your eyes to the music industry growing up? Like, how young were you when you first went to it?
When I first, you know, went into the festival, I remember being outside of it, just looking at people. But I was probably around 10, first time I was in. I think I saw the Sisters of Mercy the first time.
There we go.
Thinking they were kind of cool, but kind of lame at the same time. I bought a Virtual 11 t-shirt. I remember.
There you go. Sweet.
But apart from that, I think one of the things it opened for us was just we especially when we were teenagers, we would always, you know, camp at the festival. So that was a taste of of what was to come, I guess, of touring life in a way.
Now, has Tribulation played that festival before or no?
No. No, we haven't. I've played there once another band, but not with Tribulation.
Okay. So my last question here, keeping it short, is, you know, a lot of your interviews, you had this same quote that you said over and over. And, you know, it said, you really don't know what is going to happen in the future. And like, it doesn't really, like, you don't worry about it a lot. And, and my question off of that is like, where did this mindset come about and how does this ideology like change over the years? Like, what makes you always have this, you know, theme?
Faith in the process, I guess. And also that we're always making music to, you know, express a certain thing, to be at the end of it, to be pleased with it, to be pleased with the result ourselves. We've never made the music to live up to some expectations or
You like do it in the moment.
And even I think I wouldn't really care if I thought the album we'd made was good enough and people thought it sucked. Of course it to some extent that matters as well, but that's not what we're about, really. We're not making music to sell albums.
Right. More of like a personal thing.
Yeah. And of course we are selling albums. We're in that world, but that's not why we started doing this, and that's still not why we're doing it.
Right. Yeah, and I thought that was like a really strong message that you always had in your interviews. Like, I was like, this guy, like, you know how, you know, you watch interviews and people kind of change as they get older, but I don't know, like, it was always the same message. Like, we're doing it for ourselves, basically. And,
yeah,
you know, we're not really worrying about what the future holds.
No, and you know, we don't have a plan to like become the biggest fan in the world either.
Mm-hmm.
We take it as it comes, and that's fine. Really.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So wrapping it up, you know, what should we expect in the future from the band other than the new LP that you could talk about briefly if you want to?
Well, I don't know, I suppose. Hopefully we'll be able to do some touring on this album. But we still don't know. We have one tour booked in Europe in the fall. And then, you know, we're hoping to do the usual round, going to North America, maybe to South America as well, maybe to Japan, and Europe, of course. But then, we have a new guitar player, Joseph, and what I'm mostly looking forward to at the moment, even more so playing live, I would say, would be to write some new material with him, to see where that takes us.